Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures trying to go green on this first day of February and coming on the heels of a strong two-day rally. NASDAQ's up almost 9% from the January 24 low. Lots of earnings and, of course, Google, AMD, Starbucks on the way tonight. Our roadmap begins with signs of a muted start to the new month after closing out the worst month since the start of the pandemic.
Plus AT&T, it's slashing its dividend payout, divesting its Warner Media division after the Discovery deal closes. A lot of important details here that we will dig into and explain. And as for earnings, well, we got Exxon, UPS, NXP all crossing the tape, and Alphabet, General Motors, Starbucks, and as Carl said, AMD also on tap for later today.
So we got that 90% upside volume day yesterday, right? Best NASDAQ day since April of 2020. People still think this was a violent rip in what is a longer-term downward move.
Well, I think that we got very negative. And I think that we can stay negative on some parts. I mean, I see some what I call rear guard analyst action coming back to these companies that don't have any revenues, don't have any earnings, sell 50 times sales. Forget that. This is your chance to free yourself of those companies. They're all up. Take advantage of it. Focus on companies that make things for a profit. Okay. And don't really are not overwhelmed by supply chain. Or are doing something to augment something. I mean, I spent a lot of time on Stanley Black & Decker. They had terrible supply chain issues, but they still managed to make the numbers. They passed on a lot of the costs. So you're trying to figure out what happens if supply chain issues get better. And the reason I mention that is Eurozone factory growth accelerated in January. Supply chain issues got better.
That's a five-month high.
Yes. Now, I mean, some people say, well, then just go buy Europe. No, I'm could that be a precursor? I thought, Carl, that was like the most positive thing I've read. They are getting past their problems.
Now you got UPS with margin guidance better than last year's, Jim, despite all of the labor shortage
Carol
problems
Tomei,
that we know about.
Got to hand it to her. Totally Delivered is really not moving any packages, David, unless they make money on them. You focus on small, medium-sized business. The gross margins here are incredible.
Kind of reminds me of what you've said about Ford, which is they actually don't want to sell automobiles in markets where they make no money.
That's
either.
Why UPS and Ford are huge positions for my charitable trust and for the club. And I've got to tell you, 49% increase in dividend, so you almost get a 3%. This is a turn of phenomenal proportions by a one great executive. Used to be the CFO of Home Depot.
Right.
Real turn.
You have been you've been a fan.
I've been champion.
Yes, you have.
And I tell you, I do my videos at 10:20, and I was very unsure of most companies, except for United Parcel and Ford. I shouldn't say that. You know, I like there's a lot of companies I like, but UPS has been a big. Let's say I liked it in the low 100s just because Tomei came on Mad Money and said, "I'm done selling. I'm done moving packages that I lose money on." It's like, well, wow. Doing more with less.
The previous management didn't have that approach then. I'm not quite sure what I'm missing here.
I vowed to be really nice
today.
They
also did, but didn't previous management did upgrade a great deal of
technology.
The technology.
Mr. Adney got one of those hands. It's like I was out with an executive.
David Adney, right.
Yeah, I was out with an executive in the food, one of the largest food companies in the world. I mean, the amount of direct-to-consumer they do shocks you.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm sure it shocked Mr. Abney. But Carol Tomei is shocked by nothing. As having seen so much at Home Depot, she just was unfazed. And look at that. And giving back the big dividend, I just love that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, David, the only thing as bad as is cutting a dividend is, you've got money and you have a raised dividend. Yeah. David, I got to tell you, if someone were to cut the dividend in this environment, I would sell that company 9 ways to Sunday and I'd buy, put Carol.
We are going to talk about AT&T extensively in a little bit, a few minutes.
Same.
We'll take a commercial
59,
break after the
59% bump?
Yeah.
What? Well, Carol Tomei bumped the 49% bumped the dividend. But,
is AT&T, by the way, this
you have
is not
one that
news. We knew where their dividend would come in terms of the overall payout when it is a fully separated company from its Warner Media assets.
Okay.
But how about we move on to a company that still has a dividend yield of about 4.6%. That's judging from today, ExxonMobil.
I was
also
impressed.
Out with earnings. Darren Woods on, again, with Becky this morning.
Wasn't that a good discussion,
we've
too?
We've known that they're going to generate a lot of cash, but $48 billion in cash flow from operations, the highest level since 2012.
Buying back stock again, remember? Yep. You said just
well, there was by the way, we talked about the dividend. What? Sorry to touch you.
Sorry.
It wasn't that long ago, people were questioning whether the dividend was sustainable.
And whether it be a dividend aristocrat. Remember, they bumped it by a penny to stay an aristocrat?
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Wirth, is he feeling it? Is he feeling the competition yet? Because BP and Royal Dutch have not really, you know, they're very ESG. And is Exxon, how's Exxon ESG since they elected the Sierra Club there on the board there with the Elitibus?
They've got some very significant members of their board who are focused on the transformation.
And, anyone focused on getting still on that board?
I think so. Well, anybody who owns the stock on that board is happy that because look at that move. Look at the move
in
the stock price. And that, by the way, is not because of their ESG efforts.
I could overlay the price of oil. You know, they look very similar.
They do. You just still want to only give props to CVX. To Chevron.
I've got another one that I'm working on.
You can't help yourself.
I've got another one I'm working on that I'm going to reveal tomorrow that I think is the next big thing in the world.
Really? Well, let's take a listen to Darren Woods, who is the CEO of ExxonMobil and was a guest on Squawk on the Squawk Box, earlier this morning.
The market's been a big help with respect to our earnings performance, but more importantly and more fundamentally, it's the work that we've been doing back from 2018 through 2019 with the significant organizational changes that we've made, and then moving into 2020 with the cost reductions. And then 2021, those trends continued. We cut structural costs by almost $2 billion in 2021. That was on top of the structural cost reductions that we made in 2020 of $3 billion. So in total across that time frame, $5 billion of structural cost improvements. And the new organization have helped us get a better line of sight to the markets. We've become more effective, and you're seeing that manifest itself in our earnings performance.
Don't forget the first round of new directors that they got. Remember, Angelakis, Ubben.
Tough guy.
I'm forgetting. They were very focused on cost.
Yes.
It wasn't necessarily all, ESG is important. It was the second round that was much more focused on ESG from Engine One. But
$5
reduced
billion?
Cost a lot.
What did they have that they could cut out $5 billion?
A lot.
It's not just the second plant that he cut out. Remember,
no, and they're consolidating now. They're
moving
to Houston. Yeah.
I don't know, Carl. Right. When I see a company like this do this, what it says to me is, look back 2 years ago, and you were worried about Exxon, and it just shows you, boom. It's a reminder that that capitalism. Don't give up on capitalism. Don't give up on stocks. I mean, because that was the stock that everybody used to own. You know, you go in when I was at Goldman Sachs. Well, what do you like, Exxon? Really? What else? Excellent.
Yep.
Because you never went wrong.
Basically, not even 05, 06, it was still one of the largest, if not
in
the largest market cap.
2013, it was the largest company on Earth.
And had the largest revenue number, or right up there with Walmart. Yeah,
I know.
We didn't get a bump in CapEx guidance. They're looking for 21 to 24, prior 20 to 25, so a narrowing. Would you want to see more of that, or is capital return more important right now?
Right now, capital return. I want companies to get much more out of every rig that they drill, which is something, by the way, that we're getting from Devon, where you're seeing that they're drilling, the machines that they're using half the machines and getting more output. This industry has really gotten technological. It's a very smart industry. Devon might be a buyer.
Meanwhile, you got OPEC Plus tomorrow.
Right.
There is some chatter about maybe a faster pace of production hikes. Maybe that's why Brent's below 90 today.
Could be. And then what's going in? Look, we know that the Iranians are quietly talking about making a deal. And if the sanctions are lifted, then they can produce. I had a chartist last night, Carly Garner, talking about oil very quickly dropping to 70. I don't know if that's possible because I think the there's so much of the economy is good, but we also got to watch China.
We got to watch Ukraine, too. Now, I know that's about natural gas to some extent, but if there is a Russian invasion, there's a lot of different things that will be on the table in terms of energy.
When Johnson's there, right?
Boris Johnson? No, they won't do it while he's
there. He should stay there for a couple of weeks.
Got a number of NATO members, their prime ministers or presidents visiting Ukraine, yeah.
Do you think it's interesting? I mean, there is a great movie right now called Munich. It's on Netflix, but there's a moment where this is where the great appeasement where Chamberlain goes and gives in everything to Herr Hitler. And one of the younger people says, aren't you going to speak to the government of Czechoslovakia, of democratically elected President Beneš? And this time, Britain's not making that same mistake. They're actually going to speak to Zelensky before they sell him out. No, I don't think they will.
You know, I don't know.
All I'm saying is that
there's questions about the Germans and their willingness to sustain what might be a significant cutback in their ability to have natural gas.
You're talking about 50. Boy, the stories that are coming out, it reminds me of that movie Airplane. I sure picked the wrong time to decommission all my nuclear. I picked the wrong time to decommission all my nuclear plants.
It's true.
I mean, they are petting. Someone called them the other day a client state of
the wrong time to stop my nuclear energy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very tough situation, and as David says, a lot of markets pivoting around the outcome, that's for sure, including wheat and some others. When we take a break here, shares of AT&T, as we said, under pressure. Company planning to slash the dividend, spin off WarnerMedia after their Discovery deal closes. Get lots of details on that. Shares down about 6%. As we do see futures trying to hang on to green here as we kick off February, don't go anywhere.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, welcome back. Investors have had a few hours at least to digest the news from AT&T out this morning of how it's going to divest its WarnerMedia holdings. It's going to be through 100% spin. Now, some of that may not be a big surprise based on comments that we had from an interview with AT&T CEO John Stankey last week. We'll get to that in a minute. But as for the specifics of this and why it's important, well, a lot of different things to go over with you here. What you're going to get now if you're an AT&T shareholder is 0.24 shares of Warner Brothers Discovery for each share of AT&T you own. Now, we already knew AT&T's current share owners are going to own 71% of the new co, that being Warner Brothers Discovery, which, by the way, has 700 million shares out now, but is going to have another 1.7 billion shares into the market, or at least existing. AT&T already, we knew, going to get $43 billion of proceeds. We know when the close is. But some of the things we didn't know, we didn't know exactly how much they were going to spend on the dividend once they are separated. We do know now it's going to be $8 billion a year, and that's going to equate to $1.11 a share. That's, you do $8 billion over roughly 7.2 billion shares out, you get your $1.11 a share. And we also now see that, well, they're not going to be buying back stock because it's not an exchange offer in any way, shape, or form, but they will potentially buy back stock once their adjusted EBITDA gets below 2.5 times, maybe by the end of 2023. So what's the disappointment? Why did we see it last week as well? Well, there had been an expectation, perhaps in some way, that there would be a split, or at least a combination split and spin. What is a split? It's an exchange offer whereby AT&T comes to you and says, okay, we'll give you Discovery shares at some sort of discount if you give us your AT&T shares. And what do you do with that? You retire those shares. It's an enormous buyback. Now, AT&T will tell you, listen, there'd been no precedent for an exchange offer of this type. It would have been over $40 billion. By the way, think about how big a buyback that would have been for AT&T. Ooh. That would have vastly reduced their share count, significantly increased the overall dividend yield given fewer shares outstanding. But they thought, you know what, to do this, we're going to have to offer a discount that would be even in excess of what you typically see in exchange offers like this, which is maybe 10 to 12%. In speaking to the CFO, Pascal Desroches, last night, he indicated, no, you know what, it could be as much as more than 12%. That's just not a road we want to go down. We don't want to be in a position where we are rewarding risk arbitrageurs or institutional holders who are more sophisticated than the retail holders, perhaps, and therefore going to buy AT&T shares and benefit from that discount by knowing that they should participate in the exchange offer. There's also the risk that they wouldn't actually fulfill the exchange offer. What would that have looked like for the company if, in fact, they had not fully subscribed the exchange offer? So that was also a concern. In fact, John Stankey last week in our interview did point to what he saw as potential execution risk, giving a strong sign to the market that 100% spin was a likelihood.
It is a very, very large split. It's unparalleled in terms of anything that's been done ever in history. And, you know, that certainly gives me some pause. And we have a very large retail base in the AT&T stock right now as well. And that retail base sometimes isn't quite as deep in some of these issues as the institutional base is. And so I'm very mindful of the fact that whatever we decide to do, it has to be something that can be clearly communicated so that there isn't confusion in the marketplace and a lot of people carping.
Now, critics would say, you know what, optimizing the company's capital structure is the key thing you should be thinking about, and this is not necessarily the best way to go about that. Others will say, listen, if you were to do a $40 billion exchange offer, yeah, you'd buy back a lot, but you give up $4 billion at least in discount, maybe more. That's not smart either. Jim, the market already, as I said, given those comments from Stankey last week, got a good sense that this would be the way it went. But there really had been a hope and expectation that there would be some sort of an exchange offer, perhaps a combination, that would result in a significant retirement of AT&T shares. Not going to happen, at least not until the end of 23, right, as they indicate, right, when they potentially can buy back stock.
Well, I mean, I think that there's always a hope that there's going to be an under-promise and then an over-deliver. Your interview should have been the clarion call, because it was even more clear than the conference call, the earnings conference call. There are people who just, I'm actually thinking about Discovery here. I think, yeah, does that make Discovery in any way more interesting?
Well, it may. You're going to deal with an enormous issue of what we call flow back. In other words, you're going to have all these retail investors, 50% of their shareholder base is retail, for example, who are suddenly going to own a lot of Discovery shares.
Right.
And will they want to own it? Well, won't they? You know, there's very different profiles for these two companies. And again, it's 1.7 billion new shares of Discovery. So how long is it going to take for that to find a home where then that when you're buying Discovery, you're not facing enormous selling pressure? So that's an issue for Discovery. That's why you're seeing the stock down again today. At least it would appear that it's going to be down, because it's got 700 million shares out now. Let's add roughly, we don't know exact terms, let's call it 1.7 billion new shares. They got to find a home. David Zaslav is very good at marketing. I have no doubt he'll be able to convince a lot of people, but he may have to go home to home to do that.
Right.
And then on the other side,
do that. Be careful.
I know.
It was literally last week. I was like, hey,
and then on the other side, you've got a company that will have reduced its dividend payout a year from $15 billion to $8 billion. Remember, it told us $8 to $9 billion. It is going with the low end of the range. It is now saying that's still roughly 40% of free cash flow for NewCo, but they will have over $20 billion in free cash flow after dividend payments to reinvest in their business, to make it have more of a growth profile.
Well, now, Verizon's buying back, T-Mobile recommendation today. Would you, I mean, I'm desperately trying to play devil's advocate here. Is there, maybe there's something here. Is there remorse, by the way, about what happened? Or did they just say, listen, we didn't have anything to do with it?
No, I don't think there's any remorse. I think, I mean, again, you heard it from management, going that exchange offer route, despite the fact that they did consider it at length, was simply too complex a structure and one that really would have they felt disadvantaged many of their shareholders. They're not doing it. That said, you're talking about a company that's going to pay at $8 billion in dividend, $1.11. That yield is not far off from where now Verizon is in terms of the dividend yield.
This is, if you had nothing to do with the company, this is a very attractive idea. And I think that, you know, Hans Vestberg's made that same comment on Mad Money. But I'm looking at, I don't see the growth.
That's the key question. If you're going to, you know, if you're doing all this because you are fashioning the company more as a grower or in this 5G world, are you going to actually be able to get that growth? And there were some questions as to the quality of free cash flow last week during the conference call as well. And those are the decisions that investors are going to have to make. By the way, a few months away from these two companies completing that split.
Discovery, 1.7
billion new shares.
Billion.
Yeah. With a B.
No room. There's no room for that.
Yeah, you can back into an effective, you know how much, what Discovery's market cap is. You can add 2.4 billion shares times that current market,
it's
times
just
that value.
It's as disappointing as Carol Tomei giving you a 49% increase. It's exhilarating. It's just disappointing. It's okay. I mean, Mahomes throwing into double coverage. Disappointing.
Well, Jim, we'll talk more about that in a bit. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. Bunch of names to get to, including NXP, AMC, Pulte Home, and some upgrades today of Hogg, Workday, Wells. Don't go anywhere.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation. Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
UPS going to lead the S&P gainers this morning. If you missed it, revenue up 11.5 beats. Average revenue per package up 11. Guides above revenue for the year. Guides margins higher than last year, even with all the cost pressures we talk about. We'll watch that and get the opening bell in just over 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
All right, let's get to a Mad Dash before we get to an opening bell. A little less than 3 minutes from now. Alphabet's going to report after the bell.
Right. We often talk about the expensive nature of a lot of software companies. This is not. This sells at 25 times earnings. It could grow. Search is going to be great. This is a KeyBank piece. The capital intensity requirements for AI are big. But they do think that you're going to see YouTube and Maps make a lot of money. I think this misses the point, though. I think this is the Google Cloud breakout. Thomas Kurian.
You do.
I think that they have enough equipment to make it a breakout.
Because they are a distant third player in the cloud behind, obviously, AWS and Azure.
Completely
with, what, a 6% market share versus the other two is much more dominant.
You know, if they could go to 7, it would be monumental. But remember, there were all these issues about how strong Azure was. It was very strong.
Yes.
But, Dave, what I think about interesting is that you can have a sum of the parts valuation, which is ahead of where this thing is worth. You could have it as an earnings per share. You could have it as a buyback situation with $142 billion in cash. So before we get, Becky was asking me earlier, do you think this whole move could be a bit of a bubble? I think this is a company that makes things and makes a fortune. And for somehow this... the multiple has shrunk here so much, even as search is doing incredibly well. So I
not
just remind
mention,
people.
Not to mention YouTube, which has a annual revenue that is very similar to Netflix's. Just about
isn't
a half
amazing?
A billion. I mean, the same size as Netflix.
Well,
and
I just,
still, if you put that kind of multiple on YouTube, I think you'd end up with a far higher number.
Well, I think their conference call is now a thing of beauty. You have a Ruth Porat really laying things out. I wish Waymo were doing, but it's so hard to do autonomous. But if you want to buy a FANG stock, which has the low, well, believe it or not, Meta's got a low multiple too. But this seems like for tonight, it could be everything's set up for it to be good.
Yeah. Bernstein last week said the Q4 print looks safe, but lower margins ahead. They're going to ramp hiring.
Yes.
They're going to spend on AR and VR.
And that's what they say. They have to. The hiring issue is really big out there. And they bid against each other because there's a limited pool of talent. But let's not forget, smart people out of every school in the country apply there. And they apply at Meta, David. Meta's had no cessation.
Really?
None.
Really?
None.
I don't believe it. Although,
seven rounds still. You have to go through seven rounds. That's what Goldman used to do. Now I think you go over to Goldman and they say, yeah, okay, you put a suit on your gun. No, you don't have to put a suit on anymore. Solomon got a nice bump, but the stock didn't do as well. That's the discipline.
I think it was a Times piece, is it today, as Facebook changes into Meta. There's people being reclassified. You got to maybe apply for your job again. That's been frustrating for some.
I have enough sources at Facebook, at Meta, to say that there's still tons of people who are very grateful to have a job there because they pay a lot. It's exciting. David, it used to be that you went to paint. What are you talking about? Paint with E.F. Hutton. E.F. Hutton. Used to be you go to E.F. Hutton. Now you go to Meta. You have to explain to people what you're doing.
I just am surprised to hear that based on all of the different issues that Facebook / Meta has had.
It's just still very hard to get.
It wasn't that long ago.
Seven interviews, David.
Congressional hearings and the questions as to.
Ain't you ever heard of Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Well, took the heat off of Mark Zuckerberg.
I guess it did, but I'm just surprised to hear that there's still the same level of enthusiasm amongst potential candidates for jobs there. But
hey,
maybe so.
Look, these are very high-paid jobs.
Yes.
With some really smart people. And you work at home.
You can. You can work at home or work in their beautiful offices that they continue to lease.
Not use.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just pointed out that there's been no cessation. And I think that's kind of, they're not mercenaries. It's an exciting place to work.
We're going to find out Google tonight, of course, Meta later in the week. But roughly a flat open here, 45.14. Although all-time high on UPS, Jim. At 225, that's going to help the transports this morning.
She's so good. And FedEx had a decent quarter, too. But I was starting to think that Mr. Smith wasn't as good as his son, the coach of the Falcons. Mm-hmm. But then the Falcons folded. I happen to like what Tomei said when she came in, was that we're all things to all people. And we have to stop that. And I think a lot of people felt, one, you couldn't do it. And two, could you really make any money with small, medium-sized businesses? They are, it will be a great conference. Well, it's a great conference call. I happen to think that the rigor with which she approached things shocked people because everyone was used to saying that United Parcel just, they're everybody. You just use it. No, you're not going to use them and not make money. Anyway, very exciting story. Very excited.
Yesterday, of course, filled with news over in the gaming industry as Sony buys Bungie for $3.6 billion.
Bungie was kind of Halo. They had a cat. They're like cats and dogs and people like it.
Yes.
But can you believe the commotion about Wordle? The commotion.
Wordle.
I got the call. Look, I've been playing this Wordle with my wife ever since Jimmy Fallon said, you got to play Wordle. I find it incredibly captivating, but I wonder whether it isn't some sort of fad. So they pay low seven figures for it, but they paid $550 million for The Athletic, which is just, I don't know, David. The Athletic?
That was a lot of money for The Athletic.
They paid. Versus Wordle. I mean, that guy said he was never going to sell.
No, I don't know.
There are people who do spoiler alerts on Wordle,
Yeah. By the way, talking about gaming a minute there, it is worth mentioning that Bloomberg is reporting that the FTC is going to be the regulator of question in terms of reviewing Microsoft's acquisition of Activision. That's a Bloomberg report. They're citing people familiar with the matter who say the FTC will be doing the antitrust review. Activision shares up a bit. Now, well below the $95 a share cash deal in place, that's what we call the spread. Obviously, this deal may not close for a year and a half. It's possible.
Will they review Wordle?
And then a lot of questions as to what the FTC is going to try to do here.
Are they going to review Wordle?
I'm not worried about Wordle.
No?
Concessions, you get it done.
Yeah,
okay,
they'll get it done.
Yeah, like you have to have six. Yeah,
they don't need to worry about Wordle.
Right, you can't just do five, you have to have six.
This deal, however, as we can see from the performance of the stock price since it was announced, there is a lot of concern that the FTC, regardless of whether it has a real case to make, is going to make it or try to make it. Lina Khan, obviously, who was a guest a couple of weeks ago in that interview with Kara Swisher and Andrew Sorkin.
Fearsome. I don't know.
She is.
I mean, I just find that their deals, like I was working on Stanley Black & Decker.
Okay? Yes.
Now that's down today. They talk about the supply chain. But, you know, that was a combination that was so unbelievable. And was it anti-competitive? I don't know. It was just kind of unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Constellation buying Medela.
I mean, listen, you want to buy an anti-competitive deal if you can.
Well, that's why
it's going to work out well if it gets through.
When, when they let all the can companies combine and then the price of the can went up big, why was that a shocker?
Right.
How about when the airlines all combined? I mean, so I understand that she's coming in with a, we had pretty much laissez-faire attitude toward everything, antitrust, with the exception of NVIDIA.
Yes, well, ARM. But that has changed. But again, how much has changed and whether you can actually rely on the law to effectively make your case to block it, or whether even just the prospect of trying to block a deal will be enough to get the buyer to say we're done.
Could she have saved ATT questions. By blocking every deal?
Well, they tried to block the AT&T Warner deal. Remember, that was her predecessor. Well, that was the DOJ.
Anyway, we're joking about it, but I do think that
Macon Delrahim. But
I do think that the fact that Activision Blizzard is going to get a big review in what I regard as being one of the most broad markets. What, look at this. I mean, you know, Halo is not owned by Microsoft anymore and has great attraction to people. That market is so competitive. Gaming.
Is it going to be in the metaverse too? Very competitive?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don't forget, the metaverse, industrial metaverse is for real. Okay, that's what you have to keep coming back. Yep. You want that BMW plant, and then you want to make a twin plant so you don't have to shut down the assembly line, and you can figure out how to cut 30% of the waste.
Sure.
It's NVIDIA. Now, NVIDIA was, you know, I own it for the club. Suddenly, I'm getting these angry emails about NVIDIA. It's been like the greatest pick I've ever had.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, because when you say, when you're consistent, this is what the problem is with owning Apple. Like, you know, you'll be consistent saying, own Apple, don't trade it. And then Apple dropped 15 points. You're the biggest bum in the world from the person who bought it up 15. Now, there's a excellent piece this morning by Morgan Stanley, yep. Katie Huberty, of why Apple is going to have a sustainable run here. I think it's interesting.
Speaking of chips, we do have AMD tonight. We'll see what they say in the wake of NXPI. 320 beats 299, revenue ahead. 50% div hike, $2 billion buyback. Yeah. Jim, the buyback trend is getting some notice this morning.
It sure
We're
is.
Almost back to pre-COVID trends on corporate buybacks as these windows open up. And we're doing basically 2X of January a year ago.
Well, Stanley Black & Decker's doing a $4 billion buyback that's got to be done by the end of 2022. Stock's down 5. Are you kidding me? I mean, geez, all you're going to be doing is selling into the buyback. Now, NXP did have a run. It was up 17 in after hours. They are auto. I think that we're seeing, it's a very interesting scene. This morning, everything was up big. Like, take AMD. Stock was up 2. NVIDIA was up 7. And, like, there's no reason for these things. Who comes in and buys these things like this? It's not the machines, David.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
It's the machine. The momentum is the key driver of the quants.
What do they do at 7 o'clock? I know Robinhood wanted to extend hours.
They go momentum either way.
Broadcom has a nice piece today about how it's the cheapest because it's got 3% yield and really big cash flow.
Right.
Intel, I have nothing positive to say about.
You have nothing positive to say about.
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing. Other than the fact that every time they talk, they knock down the whole group. Because they're ahead of everybody.
How about AT&T? Have anything positive to say about them? As it's down about 4.7% on this news, of course, that we've shared with you this morning.
About AT&T?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure things haven't changed.
How's Jason Kilar? He was always really smart fellow.
He was on last week.
Smart fellow.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's, I don't know what he's going to do
not
once
sure
this deal closes.
Anymore? Yeah, I know. Like, no, what's he going to go do? He's go make a lot of money.
Go find a job.
That's what it'll do.
Like a lot of people have to.
You know, there's only one stock that has come public that has maintained the momentum, other than Endeavor, which we work for. It's the Dutch Bros. The Dutch Bros may be the most honestly, David.
Yeah.
If you had to add, you know, what is like the Groucho Marx name here? It's the Dutch Bros. But the Dutch Bros have 400 stores and they can put in 2,000 because they're a play on parking lots.
Right.
Parking lots, with the exception of Christmas, parking lots are open. They're empty.
They're empty.
So you put
can't
in.
We, can't we reclaim the land and maybe,
well, no, it's,
you know.
It's brownfield.
Put up brownfield. Trees.
No, we're just, I'm saying this is the stock.
This is the stock.
Younger people should be buying the Dutch Bros.
They should. Younger people.
People who are on the journey versus, say, Starbucks, which reports tomorrow, and maybe further along on the journey.
I feel like you're a little concerned about Starbucks. I'm curious. We'll obviously be curious to see how business has been in China, which we've talked about a lot. The lockdowns continue there.
Well, it's
a country of 1.4 billion people, so there are plenty who are going about their business. But there are major cities that are not allowing anybody to really go out.
Well, when I listen to Yunus Yu, who is unbelievable and is probably the bravest person currently in journalism, I mean, I don't know whether I want to be in line at a Starbucks. If you have to report that you bought cough medicine at their equivalent of a Walgreens, don't you think Starbucks could be a gathering place where someone might say, hey, listen, I don't know if I want to be there.
As far as cost pressures go, we got a couple more stores expressing interest in unionization. And I don't know if you saw last night, Domino's will now pay you to pick up your own pizza because the driver shortage is becoming so acute.
That's why we need the autonomous so badly. Stanley Black & Decker's going to have a semi-autonomous mower, but the future is in autonomous mowing. David.
The future is kind of autonomous like mowing.
Like right now, if we were at the graduate.
Autonomous mowing,
autonomous
son?
Mowing.
Autonomous mowing.
Autonomous everything. Autonomous, Deere's got autonomous.
How about autonomous shoveling snow? Can anybody autonomously do that for me?
Lease a shovel, because you can't get anybody to shovel.
Well, it kills your back. Got to be so careful.
That's why I don't go. It's also the leading cause of heart attacks.
So let me just make sure I understand. Your wife does the shoveling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would I do the shoveling?
I don't. Just wanted to make sure I understood. So she's out there shoveling the snow.
Sure, she got one of those.
Cutting through the ice.
But she got one of these snow blowers that just blows it into the other guys. And we're friends with our neighbors. So she had to stop that. And she was actually just shoveling. I watched the whole thing and I even filmed some of it.
Oh, do you cheer her on?
No.
Way to go.
No, it's just
a good one.
Yeah, man, I'm ATT when it comes to shoveling. That's a new term.
It's a new term. Yeah.
Quick reminder here, you can get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Cramer. Just sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/join the club or just use the QR code on the screen. It'll take you straight there. As we go to break, time for the bond report. As we got even more commentary from Harker, Daly, Bostic over the last 24 hours. But yields have been pretty steady here, not reflecting at all the volatility in equities last couple of weeks. Take a look at that. Also, Tom Brady on Instagram announcing his retirement. Maybe we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Back in a minute.
Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. Rick Santelli here with some live breaking news. We're looking for the current read, the January final read for market manufacturing PMI, expecting that the mid-month read at 55.0 holds, and the number is 55.5, so it did move a bit higher. That now replaces the mid-month read at 55, and it is the weakest read, actually, the weakest read, final weakest read, going all the way back to October of 2020. Of October of 2020, when it was 53.4, so obviously it was the lowest level for all of 2021, and it really does underscore that there are many headwinds facing the U.S. and global economy that may abate a bit due to supply issues, but it's hard to distinguish, and of course, in many ways, the good side, the manufacturing side, is going to most likely suffer anyway because services hopefully will make up for some lost ground where goods, solid manufacturing objects, were more in vogue during lockdowns and pandemic. If we consider that we have the ISMs coming up at top of the hour, we'll be able to make some good comparisons, and Squawk on the Street will return after these messages.
Just hours after saying he hadn't made a decision, Tom Brady taking to Instagram and Twitter a few moments ago to officially announce his retirement, says that football is an all-in proposition, says this is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I am not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. 22 years, 10 Super Bowls, 7 victories.
We will look back, those of us who got to see him multiple times, and be proud that we saw the GOAT.
He was. I mean, by the way, coming off an incredible season, obviously not ending in the Super Bowl, but what, 44 touchdown passes? I mean, it's
amazing.
Had one of his best seasons. Which is not a bad way to go out.
You know, the Bucs were 800 to win next year's Super Bowl, fourth best behind the Bills, Chiefs, Rams. Now's dropped to outside the top 12. Just now. What are you doing? I mean,
until they get Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback.
Oh, wow. He's moody. He's too moody for
He's
me.
He's moody.
He is. He's a moody person.
Yeah. Well, some already people commentating on the clock running on Garoppolo's tenure with the Niner. Who knows? This opens up a lot of possibilities.
Well, at least no one's saying that Mahomes.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, this is a very, it is interesting that football's numbers, we should never forget that in many ways football has resuscitated media. And why, I mean, I was with someone who's one of the, a prominent advertiser and pouring the money in. And then I was with another person last week, prominent advertiser, saying this is going to be the event where we catch people's eyes. We are underreporting the success of the NFL as a way to reach people.
Well, we talked to Drew Rosenhaus yesterday how the product's probably better now than it has been in 50 years.
Yeah. How many years?
I don't know. 50, I think, is what Drew
said. Well, I've been underreporting it because I've not talked about it on Mad. I've just been marveling the national nature of it.
It's the only way that the networks aggregate eyeballs anymore, right? The top 9 out of the 10 or 19 out of the top 20 viewed shows are NFL games.
I keep telling people in this business that if you do fantasy, people watch to the end of the game. You need to know the fourth quarter.
Well, also betting. I used to say that to
Bob Iger. I said, Bob, listen, there's this thing. This was 15 years ago, this thing called fantasy. He's fantasy player. But I was saying, look, one day people are going to watch garbage time at the end. He said, I don't know. But it's true. There'll be a game where the greatest game in the world is when you have someone going and your team's down by 3 touchdowns and you have a wide receiver. That is it. And fantasy mattered. I am actually thinking about saying tonight that DraftKings has bottomed.
Interesting. I mean, the thinking for years was that baseball was going to be key because you want game frequency.
Yes.
But it's been no match.
Oh, God. When I was in I was one with Eddie Lampert. I was in one. And it was all consuming. You were, like, Wednesday was the trade deadline. And you said, we were at Goldman. And I was like, you didn't do any work on Wednesday because of the trade deadline. Because baseball fantasy is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Football's perfect. What?
Nobody watches baseball anymore.
No, they don't. No.
I mean, I'll go to the park, but to watch an entire game on television?
No. No. Let's beat the traffic. My father was like, let's beat the traffic. It was like the fifth inning.
Let's beat the traffic.
And I love baseball.
Doesn't matter what you
know.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
Whatever.
But you can bet on it now. You can bet on everything. You can probably bet on every pitch.
Yep. Well, the Brady news is it's helpful on a day where markets are pretty stable here, not far from the opening levels, down about 4 on the S&P. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Stability is good. 2-1 advancing to declining stocks, finally out of January. And we have cyclicals leading the way, value-oriented sectors. So just take a look here. We got industrial up today, material stocks up today, bank stocks doing a little bit better, energy, which has been far and away the market leader so far. Tech's lagging. We got Salesforce, got Microsoft, got Apple lagging, dragging the down a little bit. But overall, not bad start to February. We've talked a lot about the dividend story. Talked about it all last week. And again today, it's shining again. Look what happened today. We saw UPS raising the dividend 49%. We've had a number of companies increase the dividend. As you see in the last few days, here's Halliburton, Lennar, Wells Fargo. Today, UPS raised the dividend 49%. They've got a 3% yield right now. UBS raised the dividend, said they're going to raise the dividend to 50 cents from 37 cents. That's almost a 3% dividend. Sirius announced a special dividend on top of that. So dividends are a hot topic now. And the reason is, if you're only expecting mid-single-digit returns, not 20% returns, 2 or 3% dividend matters a lot in terms of total return. So look what's been going on here. The current dividend yield on the S&P, about 1.4%. It's going to be a tad lower here. And you could see again here the dividend increases that were announced in the last few days. But put up the dividends growing. Dividend yield here, 1.4% now in the S&P. It's going to be a tad lower today once you account for the AT&T story. But AT&T is an anomaly. We used to be very rare to see a company with a 3% or more dividend. That's now very common. 80 companies in the S&P 500 pay a dividend yield north of 3%. 28 companies pay a dividend yield north of 4%. Now, why is it happening? Well, it's happening partly because corporate America is flush with cash right now. The cash flows are titanic. Look, did you see what ExxonMobil was reporting? They're covering the dividend and they're doing a capital expenditures, all from the increased cash flow that they've been seeing. We are going to see record dividend payouts in 2022 in terms of a dollar value. We're going to see record buybacks. We could do north of $800 billion in buybacks easily and into $900 billion. It's early on, but they're going to be records once again. So this is all due to the cash flow that's going on. And we're also seeing companies outperform that are dividend payers. This doesn't happen very often. Traditionally, you get these dividend payers, they tend to be value companies, utilities and energy stocks and telecom. They outperform. The Spider Dividend ETF, which is a basket of companies that keep increasing their dividend, was only down 2% in January. The S&P was down about 5%. So that's a pretty good relative outperformance and a good month overall for them. Finally, we're in February, and a lot of people like to talk about seasonal factors. So here's the story. February is considered the weak link. That's a phrase the Stock Traders Almanac popularized years ago, because if you look for the beginning of the year, January is traditionally up. February, March and April are only up a little bit. The problem here, Carl, is that this doesn't work very well. If you look at as goes January, so goes the year, these seasonal indicators. Well, it hasn't worked the last 2 years, 2020, 2021, down years for January, up years for the market. And it's only been right 50% in the last 10 years. So be careful, folks, when you're talking about these seasonal indicators. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob, thanks so much, Bob Pisani. Jim, what's tonight?
I've got Brunswick on. This is a company that's just firing all cylinders. The stock can't get out of its own way. Part of the problem with this market.
We did get an upgrade of Hogg over at Morgan Stanley.
Yes, I was covering his shorts. A very good call. Yeah. But Rob's report was great. I'm going to focus on that tonight, too. This is Carol Tomei and her excellent number.
UPS all-time high. We'll see you at 6. Mad Money with Jim Cramer.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.